caution, it is important that you consult a physician and a trainer or coach before you begin. You should have a medical checkup before starting any exercise program.
Pitcher, the arrival time is very important. He doesn't want to get here about 15 minutes before. I prefer my pitchers to be here anywhere from an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, which allow them to adequately warm up and be ready to go. As Phil and Tim run down to the bullpen, we'll basically go through what our bullpen routine is. Before he steps on the mound, he's going to throw and run and stretch and make sure his body is ready to go. Before we even pick up a baseball, guys, to even throw, the first thing we need to make sure we do is that we warm our bodies up properly to throw. Never ever throw to warm up. And what I mean by that is don't show up, pick a ball up, and call yourself getting warm by throwing a baseball. What you need to do is warm your body and being prepared to throw the baseball. Whenever you go to practice, I can't stress this enough, you need to warm your body up to throw. So what we're going to do is with Jay and Timmy's assistance, I'm going to show you a couple exercises that's going to help you. One of the things I like to have them do first, which we won't do today, is run. And when we run, I like to have them run with the baseball in their hand. You may ask, why do we do that? We run with the baseball in our hand to get a feel for it. I want you to be comfortable. Spend as much time as you can. So if we're running, let's put a ball in our hand. Work on the four-seam grip, two-seam, across the two short seams, but get a feel for it. Once they've ran, they've got a little sweat going, then we're going to come in, we're going to stretch. So, okay, guys, just drop your glove. What we're going to do is what we call pinch the shoulder. They're going to take their right arm across their chest, and they're going to grab it. What we're going to work on here is concentrating on stretching the rotator back in here. We're getting that loose, especially with the throwing arm, since we got two right-handers. Another drill, we can take the arm behind the back, pull the elbow down, and try to stretch as far down as you can, really getting a good stretch. Now we can switch over to the left side, doing the same thing. Reach down your back. Don't hurt yourself. Nice and controlled. Let's put our hand out, one fingers up. What we're going to do is pull our fingers back. You're going to get a little pull right here in the forearm. We're getting our whole body ready to go because the wrist is going to play a big factor along with the forearm. Now you can rotate that down, palm out. Then you get another pull, and you get that flexibility going there. Now let's go to the left arm, fingers up, down. I cannot stress the importance of making this a daily portion of your routine. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take our right arm, put it behind our back, and I'll turn around, and what we're going to do is pull our right arm to our left and pull our head to the left and get a stretch. There you go. Now we can switch to the other side. Again, getting the neck loose while also getting the torso upper loose. Now we can spread our feet a little bit wider than shoulder width. What we'll do is we'll rotate to the right, and we're going to take our right elbow and put it outside our left knee. Rotate. Come on forward. And get a good bend down there. What this will help you do is simulate the finish in your mechanical motion. Now we can rotate also to the left. It's also stretching the lower hamstring, getting a good stretch in the rear leg. Come on straight up. Another thing you can do is if I'm with Jay, I can pull his arm up. I can put an L in here and I can ask him to gently pull forward. A little bit of isometrics. I can also pull the arm down. No, relax. Now pull forward and get a little bit of strengthening. I can take both hands, ask him to extend his arm, and what I'll do is when he gets a little tight, he will let me know, but we're trying to gain some flexibility here. Now I'll ask him to sit down, put your right leg over your left, and now you're going to hook this outside, what I call the pretzel, and he's going to pull his leg going to the right, and he's going to pull the opposite way with his left, and he's going to look behind him. Get a pretty good twist right here. Now we can switch to the other side. Also, concentrate on your breathing when you're doing these exercises. Okay? One of my big ones is now I want you to pull your feet up under you. Pull your feet together. Pull them up under you. We're going to work on the inside of the groin. Grab your ankles. Now we're going to kind of push down on the inside part of a thigh. This is a big preseason injury. A lot of guys will hurt their groin because they do not properly stretch. You got to understand, guys, when you're in high school and your season's limited to 20 games a year, if you blow something here, now you've ruined your chances of having a successful year because you're going to miss probably about half your season. That's another good one. Now let's stand up a little bit. Spread your feet wide. And what we'll do is we'll just kind of get a little groin action here to make sure, because we're going to really use our lower part of our body. Feel your body. It ought to be sending messages to your brain. See if you can see that muscle in here stretch and know when it's too tight. Now let's go the other way. That's good. These guys should be ready to go. It's a pretty warm day. Remember, different body types require longer. Me being as old as I am, it's going to take me a lot longer than Jay. It's going to take me a lot longer than Timmy, but it's going to take Timmy a lot longer than Jay. So remember, you've got to take care of your body. Warm your body up to throw. Never throw to warm up. If you go to practice, take it upon yourself to get there a little bit early. Develop your own routine of what's going to help you and what your problem spots will be, so you can concentrate on that and not run the risk of hurting yourself. What Timmy's doing here is he's warming up. He's working on his fastball. The purpose of this is for him to work inside the zone. Phillip sets up now to a foot outside. What we want is a fastball outside for a foot. The whole purpose is for him to work into the strike zone. We don't use all of the strike zone. We want to work from the strike zone in, and once we establish the outside part of the plate, both sides, then that's where we want to stop. He starts a foot outside, then he works himself to 6 inches in. Once he establishes a fastball, we'll throw changeups and fastball with a catcher calling for locations, and he'll try to hit his spots. Timmy and Phil, let's mix in the fastballs and changeups. Fastball, changeup, okay? Phillip, give him different locations. Now what Timmy's doing is working at about two-thirds of the distance. He's throwing his curveball, concentrating on tightness of the spin, getting the feel for the curve. He'll throw about six here, then we'll have the catcher move back. He always starts out and stays on the mound so that he gets used to that area instead of coming in and then working back. We always move the catcher away from him. Okay, come on back some, Phil. There you go. All the way through, Timmy. There you go. Two more. Then we'll go back full distance. Now, Philip, we're moving back to the full distance. What Timmy's done is he's worked through a couple phases for establishing a good and proper feel for his curveball. Now, Philip moves back all the way to the proper 60 feet, 6 inches, and Timmy should have a better feel for the curve. Good pitch. We'll throw some curves here. Then what we'll do is we'll alternate with a fastball curve and a changeup with Philip giving the location pitch. By bringing the catcher in, then moving him back, it helps the pitcher to establish a pretty good feel for the rotation of the ball. Let's mix them all three in now. Philip, you call them. One fast, two curve, three changeup. This routine takes about 65 pitches. He should be ready to go at the end of this. He's thrown every pitch. He's worked himself from the outside into the strike zone. If he does not have something working for him, he stays here until it's done. He does not leave the bullpen until everything is working and he's properly warmed up. While in the bullpen, you never leave unless you throw from the stretch also. Get the feel for the stretch so you know what it feels like before you go out there. Remember, every pitch you throw from the windup, you need to throw one from the stretch. One more, here we go. Hustle in, Phil. How do you look?
Pretty good.
All right, how you feel?
I feel fine.
Look, we got to go right at these guys. We want to establish the strike zone. We want to go right at them with the fastballs low and away. Remember the strike zone we're going to use. We're going to keep it in the L. One is high and tight. Two's in on the waist. Three is low and inside. Four is low and away. Same thing for the left-hander. One, two, three, four. First signal will be the location. Second signal will be the pitch. Once we establish the outside part of the plate, now we're going to widen the strike zone. Get ahead with strikes. Now let's use the balls, try to bait them, make them chase. What we don't want to do is try to worry about our K count. Let's let the defense help you out. Maintain the coolness, calmness that you can do. Be aggressive, don't back down. Go right at them, let the defense help you out. You feel any tightness, soreness, any problems, let me know. We ready to go?
Yes.
Any questions?
No.
Okay, let's do it. What I want to talk about now is the strike zone, or the portion of the strike zone we use. We realize that the plate is 17 inches wide, and it's basically going to go from the height of the beneath the armpits and just a little bit above the knees. But we don't want to use all of this zone right here, because if you use all of the zone, you're going to get in trouble. So what I use is what we refer to as keeping it in the L. Here's my strike zone right here. I'm going to work Timmy here, high and tight, in on the hands, low and in on the knees, and I'm going to work him low and away. So a lot of times when I call pitches, I'll use a 1, 2, 3, 4 count for the location. One high and tight, two in on the hands, three low and in, and four low and away. I never call for anything above the plate. So if you're out there, if you got a left-handed batter, then just reverse it. Here's my strike zone here. If Timmy flipped around like he's left-handed, now here's my strike zone. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't want to occupy this territory right here. We want to make it hard and on the hands, high and tight, low and in, and low and away. And once we get ahead in a count, 17 inches wide. Let's be a little greedy. Let's see if that umpire is going to give us maybe a ball off the plate. If we can do that, that works in our benefit, because now we're getting ahead with strikes. Now we're going to widen the strike zone and hopefully get them to chase some of these balls so we can get out with them. So remember, when you get ahead in the count, widen the strike zone. If the umpire is going to give you 6 inches either way, take that. Don't be dumb. Don't throw it right down the middle. Pick your hard spots right here. Remember, keep it in the L if it's a left-hander or a right-hander. 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go. One of the most important things you need to do when you finish pitching is you've got to properly cool your body down. A lot of trauma is going to take place in the arms. What we want to do is do some light throws. We also want to do a little bit of running. Get the blood flowing so the blood doesn't pool in the arm, because we are tearing the muscle down. You may have a little bit of bleeding in there. So what we want to do is do some light jogging and running. This is also good for your recovery period, getting ready for the next day. While they're running, they're going to have a ball in their hand. What we want to work on is getting used to the grip of the ball, constantly maintaining this feel, because when you pitch, you've got to have a good sense of feel for this. When they're running with their glove up, looking like athletes, thinking mentally about what they're going to do, and also by running in partners, it looks good in the outfield, and plus it gives them somebody to kind of talk to help push them through this. So you guys ready? Okay, here we go. Nice, easy jog. And back. Here we go. Just nice, easy. Here we go. Concentrate on here is that we run for time. You don't have to run to center field and back. You can run what is preferred as poles. You can run the warning track to the pole and back. You can run the warning track around the field. Break it up. Do what's comfortable for you, but the main thing is to make sure you get your running in, because you're only as strong as your legs. We've got to have the lower waist down to be in shape to be a successful pitcher, because once your legs get tired, your body's going to go. Once you've done your distance running to help maintain your endurance, one of the things we also want to work on is our recovery time. That's why we do what we refer to as sprint, jog, walk. What you're going to do is get about 40 yards, maybe a little more, a little less, just depending on how good you feel. You're going to sprint to the line, then you're going to jog back, then you're going to walk. So sprint, you jog, you walk. What this does is help your recovery time for those game-type situations where you may have to sprint to cover first base. Then you got to sprint to back up third. So what we want to do is increase our recovery time to where it's almost a minimum. You guys ready? Here we go. They'll start out and they'll do their crossover step just to work on a little bit of base running. Here we go. Ready? Go. They start out with the sprint. Immediately they touch. They jog back. Once they touch here, then they go right into a quick pace walk. As soon as they get to the line again, they're going to sprint. Then they're going to jog and walk again. What we like to do is put a stopwatch on them. Maybe do this for about a couple of minutes, give them a break, and then we'll do it a couple more minutes. Okay, when you get down there, just walk on back, guys. Again, this is a sprint, jog, walk. It's excellent for the recovery time routine to help you be prepared to go at least the long distance, and then plus be able to recover quicker when you're doing your pitching. What we're getting ready to do now is what I call the pitcher's best friend. We're going to ice Tommy's right arm. Tommy's had a tough day just from throwing and pitching. What we want to do is put the ice on the back of the shoulder, and then we're going to submerge his arm in this bucket right here to slow down the trauma that is caused by the violent action of throwing a baseball. So, Tommy, you ready for this? And I'll tell you this right now, you got to work the players up with their tolerance because it can be pretty tough. Here we go. Up, Tommy. Now I'm going to take my ace band, just ask Tommy to hold it right there. And as you can see, it doesn't have to be pretty, but Tommy's doing a good job tolerating the pain and the coldness. What I asked or suggest that you do is that if anyone pitches five innings or more, gets really up in the pitch count of maybe around 80, 90, start them off with this. Now what we're going to do is ask Tommy to go ahead and submerge his arm in the bucket. Put it all the way down in there. And what I usually will have them do is try to put their hand up here mainly with the older players and just kind of work the fingers and kind of get some of that the blood still to circulate there. Do not do this more than 15 minutes, okay? If you should do this, the pain persists, then probably you're damaged in your arm. You may need to see a doctor. Players with the pain in the muscle here in the bicep, once you submerge it in here after about 2 minutes, you could probably fall asleep and take a nap here. But this, again, is going to help you with the longevity of your arm, reduce the injury factor, and it's going to also make you able to come back a lot quicker than trying to wait and naturally let the arm recover. This is going to speed that process up. So remember, ice your arm after you pitch if you got a little bit of soreness, but don't fall in love with it too much and just think that you got to do it every day. Another drill we're going to work on today as far as the recovery and post-game routine is the pickups. As a pitcher throws, his lower back begins to fatigue out. For you coaches, telltale sign when he's getting tired, he no longer has the good follow-through, he starts finishing up because his back muscles are fatiguing. So what do we do to condition the pitcher for that? We do what we call pickups. What I'm going to do is roll the ball to the left and to the right, and you can maybe do 10 or 15. You can do it on a time schedule. Or you can just plant two balls here and you can do it on your own, out in front of the house, in the backyard. But Ryan's going to do 10 or 15, then he'll take a break. And again, we're going to try to condition and get the lower back in shape for the next game. Here we go. You ready? Start your left. Go. He moves his feet side to side. Keeps his head down. He comes up. He goes down. I just got to get the ball to him a little better. It's all right. If I really want to make him work, I'll get him out there, and as soon as he touches, I get him going. I don't let him loaf on me on this. Again, this is pickups designed to help keep the lower back in shape. Also, you can do crunches, but this really works your body a lot more. Do these, you'll finish strong in the end. What I want to talk to you about right now is the difference in gloves. Usually a lot of the pitchers that I work with inevitably make the mistake because they're usually the better athlete on the team. They will play shortstop a second. Well, what you can see here is what I've got is an infielder's glove. You can notice how small it is. This is an infielder's glove. Then they want to try to walk to the mound. We can't use this glove on the mound. What I want to see in a pitcher is something deep that he can work, fold it in there where he can hide his hands really, really good. Nobody can telegraph, or he can't telegraph his pitches or tell what's coming. Best thing to do, and it kills me when I see young guys and girls in the store, and inevitably when they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, this is what they want to walk away with. They want the big basket. You know, I'm sorry, but all things in time. So my advice as a pitcher is get something as they grow, change, add a couple more inches. You probably want to be about where this one is about 12, 12 and a half inches. Good deep pocket. I like to work mine where it stands up basically right here where you can't tell what I'm doing in here. Get the good deep pocket, work it in. One of the coaches that I coach with suggested in softening up the leather, use some shaving cream with lanolin in it. Rub it all around nice and even. Put it in the microwave. Yes, the microwave. Not on defrost, so not for 20 minutes, just for about a minute. It's going to work the lanolin in. Come back in a couple of days, maybe do it again. Don't over-oil your glove. I made a mistake one day. I kind of got carried away, and it weighed about 3 pounds. Trust me, on a mound, hot day, it'll wear you out. So take care of your glove. I like to see you work the fingers just a little bit because you are a fielder, but also fold it so you can tell, you can disguise your pitches and not telegraph what's coming. But this is your baby, and like I said, in the major leagues, they do give gold gloves for pitchers who can field their position. So take care of your glove, and maybe one day you'll get that gold glove.